Hey, everybody. And oh, hey, there's Lane. Lane, how's it going today?
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
It's going well. How about you?
Not too bad. I can't complain. It's another great day on the podcast.
Yes, it is. Well, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I'm thinking this might be a little weird.
Oh, good.
I had this call with a possible client the other day. What's weird is we talked about all kinds of things, just nothing about website. You know, we were on the phone for like 45 minutes. I couldn't believe what was happening. It's like they wanted to talk about everything but what we were there to talk about. You know, I know they want me to work on the website, but we couldn't even talk about it. We ran out of time. I really like them, but what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. All right. You know, that happens to me sometimes too. I've had it where, you know, I'm getting into a call and it's like we're talking about everything but, and then finally it's like, okay, well, we're out of time, and that really sucks. So I know. And so here's what I would say, that, you know, typically when I find that, that's usually an I personality, which is why we're here to talk today, right? So if you're not sure how to deal with that kind of a person, you might have the same experience that Lane just described. So let's talk about that. By the way, if you're new here, I'm Rob.
And I'm Lane.
And I think today we're going to talk about personalities again. So we've talked about another personality before. This one is called the I personality. And when you're selling with them, you're going to have to know some certain rules that you're going to have to put into place, because if you don't, you're going to be all over the place. And this personality is really fun, but it can be a little bit difficult to deal with if you're not clear on how to approach them. So let's dive into the world of the I personality. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
All right. So today we hope that you're going to walk away and learn about what the I personality is. And I can guarantee you, when you listen to what we're going to do to describe this person or this type of person, you're going to know some of these people. You're going to think of somebody. And when you do, just think about all the different pieces that are all describing them. And then imagine them in a sales call. And you're going to think about how frustrating that can be because of what that feels like. So I have a question for you, Lane. When you spoke to this person, what did you guys talk about? I mean, I'm kind of curious now if you guys talked about anything and everything.
Yeah, well, what didn't we talk about? You know, the weather, the election, the football game on Sunday, how they like sushi, just nothing about the website.
Sushi. So what kind of sushi did they like? I'm just kind of curious. The California roll or spicy?
You know, honestly, I started to drift off a little bit, so I don't really remember.
I can imagine. Well, that doesn't surprise me, because I think last time I talked to an I personality, we talked about their car and how they, when they go to the get their car oil changed, that they have to spend $200 on their oil change and blah, blah, blah. And after a while, it's like, I don't even remember why I'm here anymore. So so I think it might be important to talk about this kind of a person. The I personality is in the DISC program. So, you know, I think it dawned on me that we probably should talk about what DISC is before we get into I.
That'd be good.
So the DISC personality is basically an assessment that measures your behaviors. And so there was a psychologist who also was in law, I think, and he kind of found that there were like different personalities that they divide into four different quadrants. And the quadrants are the D quadrant, which is the dominance kind of style personality, which we've talked about in another episode. The influencer, which is the I, which is what we're talking about today. A more of a submission style person, which is the S, and a compliance kind of a person, who is the C. And there's a whole assessment that goes with it, so you can find out what yours is. In fact, I do know that if you go to a website called crystalknows.com, CrystalKnows.com, they have a free version. It's a very inexpensive, pretty high level. It's reasonably accurate. I don't get anything by you going there. I'm just sharing that with you because I've done this before. And it's an interesting result when you get it, because it'll tell you a little bit about who you are, what you like and dislike, and what some of your strengths are, what some of your weaknesses are. And knowing that, it'll help you in your sales process, because if you know what your own DISC profile is, and then you can figure out what the other person's DISC profile is, you'll know that what you say is probably going to rub that person the wrong way. For example, if you were to go out and Google the word DISC profile and get an image, you're going to see a big square. and on whichever corner, I don't know which one it is. It's usually, I think, the top right corner is the D. What are you laughing?
I'm just in here thinking you're a big square. I mean, that's kind of you, Rob.
Well, you know, that's kind of true too. But the top right corner, okay. So going forward. All right. The top right corner, it would be the D, personality. And then down to the bottom right is the I, then the S on the lower left, and then the C on the top left. So knowing that, if you're in the opposite corners, so think about the C and the I, those two personalities are usually at odds with each other, and they don't communicate well with each other.
That makes sense.
So if you're in a sales call and you're high C calling a high I, you're going to be very frustrated with that person. They are going to be very frustrated with you, and probably not much of a sale going to happen. But if you know theirs and you know yours, what do you do?
Well, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. So you adjust, I think, is what you mean, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, very, very true. Very true. Yeah. So I think we've talked about that. I'm a C. So it makes sense that I'm in the upper left and the I is in that lower right. So it totally makes sense now why I was struggling with that call.
Yeah, because you're like, come on, we just need to talk about what we need to talk about, and they're not letting you. So knowing that, you're going to make some adjustments. And once you get a really good grasp on each of the personalities, you can really start to put together a presentation or a conversation that person needs, and you'll feel like you're a little out of sorts maybe, but they'll feel very comfortable and feel like, okay, I understand. This person gets me. And that's what you really want, right? So we've kind of talked a little bit about what DISC, the whole DISC thing is.
Since we just talked about the DISC and what each of those mean, why don't we jump back to the I and tell me a little bit about that.
The I personality is that lower right-hand corner, if you will. When you usually Google that image, you'll see usually a whole bunch of stuff out there about the information. But maybe just going through some of the traits might make sense first. What do you think? Should we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So that way so to get an understanding of what each person is like when they're in an I, that there's several traits that are almost always an indication of what an I looks like. They are usually the most sociable, talkative, very open person that you'll ever meet. They're the kind of person that will be enthusiastic. They'll make you feel very comfortable. You'll be in this position where you just kind of feel this attraction, in a sense, to them. I mean, I don't mean like a physical attraction, just like they're just nice people. You know, they're people that just get comfortable with talking to you. They can talk to you on any level. Like they can, you know, whatever you want to talk about, they'll talk, or they'll act like they're interested. At least they'll act like they're interested, right? But more importantly, they like to talk about a lot of different things that are going on in their lives, which is why you ended up learning about their sushi. And, you know, because, you know, you just end up on this conversation, you just go down the path. They're usually extroverts. They're very quick to notice that there's new people in the room, and they'll actually go and seek those people out and meet them because they're new to the group and like, who is this person? Ironically, my wife met me that way. I went to a holiday party with, you know, somebody that invited me that I knew, and I go and met her there because she's like, you're the only person I don't know here. Who are you? And that was the way it was. And so she's a high I. She has other personality traits as well, but she makes people feel very comfortable when she first meets them. So much so that people think at some point, just talking to her, they think they know everything about her. Like they think she's the best thing in the world and that they know everything. And they really, it's hard. You think you know somebody, but you really don't until you get to know them differently than just in a high level conversation.
Right.
But that is what people do. I know that public speakers get that a lot when they're out speaking, they're on stage, they have a persona. A lot of times that persona looks like an I. Now, what happens is a lot of good speakers look like an I on stage, but when they get out in real life, they're not always, and they're very quiet or they're timid and they're analytical or whatever. And so people just flock to them and they think, oh, I know this person. Look how good they are. Look how nice they are. And they get there and they're like, well, this person was a jerk. What's wrong with this guy? I mean, have you ever done that? You met somebody famous that you're like, this is my favorite person. And then you meet him and you're like, well, I don't know what his problem was or sure her problem was.
Yeah. A lot of celebrities get accused of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of why, because you end up, this I is what it is. But what's interesting, and I think just to kind of wrap up a little bit of who they are, they're very persuasive. They're very spontaneous. They're very impulsive. So they'll just like on an impulse buy stuff if they're not under control. Like some people are really good at just saying, okay, I don't really need that. But some people are just, they got to buy stuff, right? Or they got to do things. They tend to be a little more emotional driven or emotionally driven. They will talk a little more than they listen. And so when you listen to this podcast, you think, well, Rob must be an I because he's talking all the time.
Read my mind.
But that is not true. I am not an I. And you end up fitting into your roles, whatever those might be. But knowing that, I wonder what makes them that type of personality. And so when I did a little research, I started to find out that while they're really good at, you know, solving problems and can be good at encouraging people and, you know, have a great sense of humor and all, what I found out is that they really, really fear rejection. And I mean, like public rejection, especially. So if you're an I or you're dealing with an I, do not make them feel bad in front of other people ever. Because as soon as you do, you're on their bad list. That list you'll never get off that list. So don't make them feel bad. Don't make them feel rejected in front of everybody else, because that's a bad, bad deal. Now, in sales, you don't usually end up with that, right? But there could be a networking situation where you could put your foot in your mouth if you're not careful, because you say something and it makes them look bad. I was at a networking event one time with somebody, and they had a conversation. They had a conversation going where somebody was from another country and they were talking about pizza, and they were half joking. They half joked and said, you guys have pizza in that country? And of course they do, right? They were just kind of joking right?
Yeah.
But somebody jumped on that. So of course they have pizza. They made them feel really stupid. And that person walked away. You could just tell visually, you could tell that person was like, what is wrong with that guy? Why did he call me out like that? Even though they said, I was just kidding. It was like the way that person did that, it made them feel really bad. And I guarantee you that person walked away later on, even still thinking about it and thinking, how did I get rejected like that? Or how did I get that called out? And it that's how bad it can be. And it's totally unintentional, I'm sure, that person, or maybe not, but sometimes it's just unintentional. So you have to be a little careful with eyes. They're very emotional driven, but not always, right? So they can be thinkers as well. So don't let the emotions or feeling side fool you. They're good at thinking of creative ideas and creative things.
So this I personality, that you've described them as very extroverted and really out there. They're, you know, obviously they talk a lot. So it sounds like they're kind of thin skinned, and you might call it weak, but what's the story there?
You know, that's an interesting question. It's funny. You could look at it that way, and a lot of people probably do. I mean, if you're a salesperson and you run into somebody and you say something that's offhanded and it's kind of meant as a joke, but it's really kind of rejecting them in a way. First of all, you, as a salesperson, you probably shouldn't say something like that at any time. But you know, if that just kind of breaks them down, that's not a good situation for you to be in, because they're not going to feel like they want to talk to you much after that. I actually think they have more of a strength of understanding people better because they have this sensitivity toward being rejected. For example, a high I will never, ever put you in a position of embarrassment, because they wouldn't want that done to themselves. So they will never make you look bad. I don't care what situation you're in. They very rarely will ever make you look bad in a particular day on purpose. They'll do it if they have to, I'm sure, because if it's a defense mechanism, that can happen. But they're very, very in tune to relationships. And to them, it's one of the most important factors of their lives are relationships. In fact, when you think about that box, the DISC, the top half is the D and the C, and the bottom half is the I and the S. The top half people are task people. the bottom half people are people people. They're the ones that are good at communicating with each other. They like talking to each other. They are the ones that will relate to each other better. The D's and the C's, they don't do that so much. They like to just get things done, and they don't almost care about the people as much, which is a shame. So to me, they have a strength in that. And they're also really good at communicating. So they're good at communicating so that things are clear. You can understand what they mean. They know what they mean. You will know what they mean. Everything is really clear to them. And they're very typically, not always, but they're usually very intuitive. They kind of read between the lines, particularly when it comes to feelings. So to me, they just bring a whole other energy to the team. But on the flip side, they also can be a little bit, you know, a little too optimistic sometimes. I've met them where they're like, yeah, we can do that. And I'm like, there's no way in the world that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I know all people like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, now that doesn't mean just because they're optimistic that they're an I, but being an I, they tend to be a little bit more optimistic. And because of that, they may overshoot what they think they can do. And they sometimes, what I like to think of is they're in this time suck where they're just like, they don't have any concept of time. There's no understanding of time's just flowing right by them and they don't even know what's happening. They're not really good at routines always, but they can be. But when they're dealing with people, it's a time management thing. And that's probably why when you were in your sales call or meeting, whatever, it's, you know, you sit there and you just start talking and talking and they're just going on and they're, you know, maybe they may ask you a question, you might ask them and they go on and some more. They don't understand time is ticking. They're excited. They're in the moment. That's where they live, which is good. It's fine, but it can also stop your sale a little bit. So you have to be a little bit careful about that. So it's a good question. I mean, I think you're right in asking. It does sound like they're thin skin, maybe, but really that's not what it is. It's more of a relationship builder for them, and they're really good at it. And so much so to me that they don't like any negativity of any sort. Like, I shouldn't say that of any sort, but they don't like negativity. Like if you have a conversation with an I, and they're telling you something that sounds really cool, you should really be supportive with it. And if you don't come across supportive and you're like, yeah, but what about, and don't, what the numbers and all of that, they're going to be like, you don't get this. What's your problem? We can get this done. What are you talking about? Let's go. We can do this. So
chop, chop. Yeah.
Yeah. Chop, chop. I mean, sort of, I mean, sometimes they're not doers as much as the talking. So, you know, if they were an I with a D personality, they will be the chop chop, but love to talk about it. Let's go. Hey, everything's fun, but then they're chop chop. So, but if you're negative with them, they tend to write you off a little bit because they're like, you're not really supportive, because supportive and negativity all feed into that fear of rejection, right?
They sound like a very interesting type of personality.
They are. In fact, what's interesting more so is that there's less of them than I believe any of the other personality profiles. I don't remember if that's the case or not, but it seems to me I run into less of them than any of the other ones. And you would think that D's would be a lot of those because there's, you know, everybody you talk to on the phone when you call, but that is also not a very high number one. Most people are S's, believe it or not. So we'll get into what an S
really
is. Yeah, we'll get into an S at some point. Lena, I hear music, so we're gonna tell everybody how to contact.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. Well, now that you know how to contact us, let's talk a little bit about how to talk to them, not to us, but to them. So I think
them being the I personality.
Yes, I should say the I personality. Yeah. The I person. See, that's good because an I personality be like, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you mean. So it's very direct and very literal sometimes because they're a little bit visual sometimes and they'll want to know what you mean and be clear with your words. So, but how to talk to an I is really interesting. And you did some of the right things in that meeting. One is just socializing with them. So how did you start your meeting? Do you remember?
Sure. You know, I started just like I do most any other meeting where you kind of introduce myself and what we can do and start asking, you know, a few questions about what their goals are and why we're talking.
Yeah. And then they kind of talked about their sushi, right? So Yeah, then you got to, somehow you ended up, you're like, hey, what are we here for? Let's talk about that. And they're like, hey, what about sushi? You're what happened? So
that's about it. Yeah. I should have asked them what they want for lunch tomorrow. I don't know.
Yes, you probably should have. I will say this, that's happened to me. So I totally get it. And the socialization is good. And I think we're going to get into what you need to do in addition to the socializing, but you got to do that. You can't jump right into work, right?
So let me ask you this. So I spent 45 minutes with this person. We didn't accomplish anything. Does that actually help for the next time I want to talk to them? Are they more comfortable? Are they more likely to now, you know, talk business rather than corn dogs or whatever it is?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that is a valid question because, and the short answer is yes, it does help. The longer answer is it may not help you get back in. They may think, well, we've had our conversation. You know what you're doing. How much is it going to cost? So they could go that way. It just depends on how the conversation was left. And I think the other piece is that how that conversation evolved, does it surround anything or is there any sort of clues as to what they needed from the delivery standpoint? Because sometimes when I'm talking to an eye, I think I know what they want. And then I ask a question. And while I might get more than I wanted in terms of an answer, I do get enough detail to know, oh, I was not where I thought they were. And I need to ask some more questions so that I know. So yes, that could help you get back. And I think it's probably beneficial to reach back out to that person and say, hey, can I ask you a few more questions so that I can make sure that I get you an estimate that actually matches exactly what you're looking for. And I didn't miss anything. And that'll open your door back up. And it's part of that process to do that. But the most important part, I think, to dealing and working with an eye in terms of that meeting, particularly your first meeting, is to just loosen up a little bit, have some fun with it. Just it's okay to joke around a little bit as long as it's in good taste, not being too uptight. You don't want to offend, but you know, have them make sure they're relaxed. They're relaxed. If they're relaxed and you're relaxed, they're more inclined to let you lead, let you talk, let you ask them more questions. If they're uncomfortable, they may just want to keep talking because they're afraid of any sort of rejection or they're afraid you might ask them a question they don't know or that they are embarrassed about, right? So on that note, when you ask some questions, you might ask them about how they feel about a certain issue or problem or what they, how they feel about the speed of their website or their, you know, whatever it is, it's a feeling question, right?
That's interesting, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and they tend to be more kinesthetic, meaning they're not so visual or they're not so audible focused. They'll have this kinesthetic feel to them. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of visual eye personalities. So they kind of go hand in hand, but from an emotional standpoint, you need to address that feel side so that they have a chance to talk about that. The other thing you'll notice with an eye is because of their kinesthetic piece, they may be more inclined to have somebody, like if you're in person, and again, post-pandemic, it's like the touch piece, touching them on their shoulder, on their arm, touching them on their hand when you're sitting across from them. Sometimes, have you ever had that conversation with somebody where they're like, hey, how's it going? And they like pat you on the back or they touch your arm and you're like, what are you doing? Well, so for you, you're a high C, touching is a no-go. I don't want you touching me. Don't touch me. Why are you touching me? Stop touching me. That whole thing, right? Eyes, they're like, hey, well, they're patting you on the back and you know, they'll give you a hug. They love all that stuff. And you just have to keep in mind as a C, if you recoil when they touch, that's not a good
thing.
You're
not getting the sale. Yeah.
Probably. They're like, that guy was really cold. I don't know what's the problem. So you're going to want to make sure that you understand that they're an eye. When they touch, that's a really good clue. If they touch your arm, touch your hand, while you're sitting across from them, you're more than likely talking to an eye and they're high enough that it's a high of an eye that there's no question really. So you also want to make sure they get a chance to speak enough. Don't try to cut them off. You have to really recognize their strengths and what they're talking about, their ideas, those kinds of things. But again, speak in terms of people, speak in terms of feelings. Those two areas are where they focus and a lot of time and spend a lot of time in. So that's where you want to focus.
really my question comes down to is, so we're talking about everything under the sun. How do I really draw them back into talking about what we're there to talk about?
Yeah, that is the key, and in doing it delicately, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Clearly, I don't want to risk offending them.
Yes, yes. So if they're derailing you and you're like, I'm 20 minutes in and I got a 40-minute meeting, you've waited too long. That said, there no time like now to get it started. You're going to want to like integrate or come prepared, especially if you, so for example, if you go on a phone call and you start having conversation with them prior to your in-person meeting or your Zoom meeting or whatever, you just get a high level initial conversation going with them and you understand or realize this is a high I and they're off the charts because they just wouldn't let me off the phone in that initial meeting. And I spent 10 minutes. All I was trying to do was set up a meeting, right? So then that type of meeting, when you have it, come prepared with your transition statement, your statement of how are you going to get them from talking about sushi to talking about what they wanted to talk about. And so what I usually try to do is say at some point when they've gone through a few things, but before sushi, is I usually try to say something like, gosh, I know we could probably talk all day about your car. I could talk about all day about what type of sushi. I believe me, I love sushi. I love that whatever the topic is, we could talk about that forever. I could talk about that. I know for a fact you probably didn't bring me in for that. You wanted to talk about something else at some point. So I'll tell you what, we have 40 minutes left, 20 minutes left, whatever it is. Shall we use the rest of the time to talk about that? And then after that, if you want to talk some more about sushi, we can do that. And they'll laugh and they'll go, yeah, okay. I've heard that before. I know before I talk about all this stuff in the back of their head, but they also know you said it nice enough and delicately enough that you also said, I'm still interested and I'd like to talk to you about it because it's fun. And they have that reassurance that it's okay. Let's talk about this for now. We'll come back to it if you want. They'll never more than likely not come back to it unless you guys get back off track again, but you're going to want to make sure you have that statement ready to go where you're like, I could talk about this all day long. I know that's not why you brought me in here. What do you think? We spend the next 20 minutes or so, whatever is left. Let's talk about what you brought me in here for so we can at least get that addressed. I know you wanted an answer somewhere in this conversation of something. It could be what we can do for you, what we can't do for you. Yep. We could talk about numbers at some point once I understand a little bit, but until we get there, let's talk a little bit about what you're trying to get accomplished. So what's going on? What's the challenge you're seeing? And then it transitions them in. But at some point you're going to say, you know, I'd love to go back to this conversation if you ever want to, and we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great tip.
It is the most powerful thing I've used on an I, because when you get stuck with an I, it can be days before you see the light of day. I tell you. And then the other thing is if you have, here's the next step, Lane, you're in the sales, you get the sale because you did such a great job. Now you're working on the project and you've got a question or two. And so they don't like emails. I don't want to talk. I don't want to deal with an email. I want to talk to you. So you call them and you're on the phone for an hour talking about other sushi things before you get a chance to ask that question. Same thing applies there.
Yeah, that's rough, especially when you're only so many hours in the day, billable hours. I mean,
yeah, it can get hairy. So sometimes prepping them with an email that says, hey, I'm going to call. We're going to talk about these things. Obviously, if there's anything else you want to talk about, we can do that. And really what I have is about a 15-minute window. Otherwise, I'm going to have to schedule a different time. Is that okay? And if they understand that time constraint, they'll get to the point. But before you do anything with your project, with your questions, you got to ask them how things are going. How's your day going? And be prepared for a 10-minute dissertation about what their day is like. Oh my goodness, I had this phone call and then I had to go over here for lunch and then I did this and then so-and-so called me and oh my goodness, I was on the phone with them forever. And you're thinking to yourself, I am sure you were on the phone with somebody forever and I'm sure they didn't want to be there with you, but... Or maybe they did. I don't know. But the whole point is that you're asking them about their day first and making sure that you have those questions ready to go beforehand. That's the only caveat with this, is that you're going to deal with that person like that all the time until they get comfortable with you. And then it's more of a, they're going to be just really jovial with you. They'll be happy with you. they like you until they don't like you. And that's normal with anybody, right? I mean, you can do that with any personality. They like you until they don't. If that's the case, that's okay. But more times than not, people will like you for a long, long time. So Lane, did you learn anything out of this one today?
I think the most important thing that I take away from today is really what we just talked about towards the end was, how do I redirect that conversation? So I certainly could have used this information a week ago. It would have saved me, 45 minutes to an hour. It's certainly going to help me moving forward.
And next time, bring sushi. They'll appreciate it. And because that's the other thing, they'll like, oh, you remembered. And it's like, yeah, how could I not remember? But you'll remember. So I think to me that for me, to wrap this all up, I would say, if nothing else, if you get a chance, go to crystalknows.com. We'll put a link on the website. Learn what your personality is. If you're an I didn't mean to offend you. If you're another personality type, you're going to want to know how to deal with an I. Read up on all those personalities, because it will make a difference in your sales calls and your sales meetings. And after the sale, anybody on your team that works with these types of individuals, not just an I, any of the individuals, the more that they understand the personality types, the better your relationship will be long-term. We just took on a project with somebody not too long ago, and the person that I talked to in the sales process was different than the person that had to do the decision-making on within the project, right? So the project was other people involved, not the person that made the purchase. That said, each person has a different personality, and figuring those out as quickly and as early as you can, the better off and the smoother it goes. And as soon as your team knows it, as soon as your sales team knows it, everybody on your team knows it, it makes a big difference. So my recommendation, go to crystalknows.com, learn your personality type, and then pay attention to others. It's complicated, but I'm sure we can get it done. So until next time, have a good time with your personalities, because they're a lot of fun.
Bye, sushi.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Slow down and close more.